welcome to the show. It's the best podcast that we know. We are glad to have you here. Let our voices massage your ears. It's free and it's online.
35 minutes
of your time. So welcome to the Brother Stream Show. Welcome to the Brother Stream Show.
Should old acquaintance be forgotten, never brought to mind.
I've just realized my... Yeah? Firecrackers sound like me just shooting a gun.
Yeah. Well, they sound like that sometimes.
So this is our New Year's episode. I'm Simon Streep.
I'm Dill Streep.
I'm Andrew.
And this is coming out slightly before New Year's because, yes, we know that we want to give you time to listen to this before New Year's happens so you can get into the New Year spirit. So we can be using this time to look back on 2015. We put a whole bunch of little kind of questions into a hat and we're going to just randomly draw out of the hat and just reminisce over what has hopefully been a fantastic year.
Mm-hmm.
So I may as well kick it off. Let's see. Okay, best discovery of 2015. I think I'd have to go for... I realized that you can put marshmallows in muesli.
What?
Yeah, so I remember when as a kid, you used to always get kind of marshmallows and Rice Krispies if you were lucky. I've kind of discovered that... You don't have to rely on the muesli company to decide that actually a health benefit is having marshmallows inside the muesli. You can just put your own marshmallows in.
No one's decided that it's a health benefit to have marshmallows inside your muesli.
Well, on the days that I have it, I feel happier.
Is this full-size marshmallows or those kind of tiny ones?
The smaller ones.
Where are you getting those?
From Woolies. They're not the
other brands are available.
Not a sponsor.
Yeah, they're not the smallest ones that you used to get in the Rice Krispies. They're kind of in between that and a big marshmallow.
I always wondered if those, because the ones from the cereal, I think there was the thing called mallow bits I used to get. Chalk bits, straw bits, mallow bits.
So good.
And the mallows seemed quite dense. I always thought, if you put this in water, does it just become like a normal Manhattan-sized marshmallow? You could stick it on a stick like and roast it on the fire.
The emoluments of marshmallows.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's quite a cool discovery. Has it changed your life? How late into 2015 is this?
This is quite a recent discovery. Okay. But it's probably one of the best discoveries I have made of the year. I just feel like it makes breakfast into more of a treat, which I like.
Yeah. I've been trying to do muesli lately and my treats are like when you get a piece of dried banana or something like that. So if I could add something fun to it, that might change things.
Well, try some marshmallow.
I'll do that.
All right. Here, Dill, here's a hat. See what you can find.
All righty. Got funny moment of 2015.
Okay.
Now, you guys were all around for this. I found it quite funny. I think other people laughed at the time. We were away on a bachelor's for our good friend Richard Bolland. He used to do some video stuff for the band, so it kind of fits, you know, it all ties in. And I was given a card somewhere along the course of the first evening that said at some point on the weekend I can present this card and I can apply wax strips to Richard Bolland's person and pull them off with haste, thus removing hair and probably inflicting some pain and laughter from all his closest friends.
It's a good card to get.
And so I announced that I was going to do this. He stood in the middle of a big circle of people and he walked up and I said the phrase, "I'm going to go nuts," as in I'm going to go nuts. That's where I'm going. And he went, "Cool, where are you going to go?" And I said, "Nuts." And we all laughed. It was very funny, but unfortunately, I didn't end up waxing the scrotum. Fortunately for him, I felt an ounce of compassion in that moment and went for the chest instead, where he's got ample hair he can afford to lose. So it turns out you wax a hairy guy's chest and you can't even tell the difference. No. I mean, the wax strip looks like, you know, a scourer, like you could clean dishes with it afterwards, or a Goldilocks or whatever. And you look back at the chest and, you know, it's barely even made a dent.
I think one of my funniest jokes I made of 2015 was actually at the Bachelors. Yeah. Our good friend Nick, who listens to the podcast. Hello, Nick.
Hi.
He was walking around saying, I can't find my Coke Zero. And I said, "Are you sure you didn't bring Zero Coke?" And everyone laughed.
Yes.
And he was quite unhappy, though. he wasn't as chuffed at that remark because he still had no Coke.
Well, you made light of a sad situation.
I know. It's Christmas.
It's a skill.
Okay, pass me the bag.
Here we go.
Strangest conversation of 2015. Okay. I don't know if I've already mentioned the story, but if I have, you can stop me.
Okay.
Yeah. I went to the bathroom at work Don't worry, this is not a bathroom story.
Okay.
I wash my hands.
All right.
Always wash your hands, kids.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people at work don't wash their hands.
That's anyway. Disgusting. I know. And I loathe anyone who doesn't.
Left the bathroom, was walking back to the office, and there's a short kind of passageway which kind of compresses you as you walk through.
What? Like, you know, a fun house.
I mean, it's, you know, it's a narrow.
And okay.
If there are people walking past you, you kind of, you're close to them.
Sure. Okay.
And as I was about to go into my office, I was stopped by someone. He said, excuse me, do you know where the radio station that we were formerly involved with was?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I looked up and it was Liuso Gola.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not very good in those kind of situations.
You must mean you looked down.
No.
You've never had to look up to see someone, surely.
I looked at eye level. He was at eye level with me. He's an enormous man.
Oh, my goodness gracious me.
Not in stature, whatever. And now, there are a number of things running through my head this time. First of all, wet hands. Right. second of all, celebrity.
Yeah.
Who, you know, I had literally just been watching YouTube videos of on his late news show on ETV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And thirdly, just this is a social situation, which I'm not very good at in general. And
as a person, I'm freaking out.
I was very
confused. With hands.
And he's asking me for directions for something that I know of.
You do know that when he asks for directions, you don't have to touch him. It's like, cool, I'm going to pick you up and take you to where you want to go.
So all of this is going on in my head. All right. And part of this, and another thing is I want to shake his hand.
Okay.
But instead, what I do is I'm just rude to him. Not rude to him so much as I'm very curt.
Okay.
So I say,
Curt Scrimrod.
Oh, it's done. He was behind him. I'd say, oh, it's down there. And I just walk off. I just walk off. When what I wanted to do was say, oh, hi, you're Luisa Gola, which he obviously knows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan, or at least I'm a fan.
Well,
I'm
no, a you're fan. A pretty big fan.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
Can I shake your hand? Shake hand. It's just down there. Have a great day.
Yeah.
You lovely person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Instead, man, I said nothing.
The chasm between what you wanted in your head and what actually happened is so large. You could have done all of that and just not done the handshake.
Yeah. I don't.
How did wet hands throw you into being like really off to the guy?
Wet hands just, they really stuck.
Also, why didn't you dry your hands?
No, because the blower thing is broken.
You see. That's why you should never go digital.
You've got a mouth. You can just blow on your own hands.
So anyway, Luisa Gola, if you're listening to this, I apologize for being weird in that corridor.
He's not.
At the exchange.
Yeah.
He's not.
He's not still. Listening to this, but still, it's good to know that you got that apology out there. All right, let's see. All right. Most embarrassing moment of 2015. Now, I don't really get embarrassed very easily, but I would say one of the more uncomfortable moments of my year was I was celebrating my wife's sister's 21st up in the Midlands, in just outside of Durban. And kind of as someone was speaking, I kept on making a joke of like, oh, I've prepared an erotic dance for this occasion. something.
This isn't the part you're embarrassed about, is it?
something fairly ridiculous. So I was just like, oh, you know, just, you know, not expecting that I'd be called upon to act this thing out. And fair enough, at the end of my wife's speech, she was the one that threw me under the truck, so to speak. She said, and now Simon will perform an erotic dance. And now I obviously know the family decently well. I did not know the friends very well. And I had to somehow kind of perform some erotic dance maneuvers, and I'm not very good at dancing. I'm not particularly good at being erotic, and so it was just in general.
If you had to liken the dance to some kind of, you know, animal, maybe, on a hot day.
Animal on a hot day.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, is this like an uncomfortable flamingo?
Yeah, probably.
Is it a stressed out sausage dog?
So I think I've forgotten
just
what
trying
I
to get a picture here.
I've forgotten what I did the dance to, but I definitely ended up just mainly doing a striptease.
And you chose striptease, that's good.
And in my mind, I don't know what song was playing, but in my mind it was definitely Man, I Feel Like a Woman by Shania Twain. Because that's the best song to take clothes off to.
True.
It was well received. I got some claps. I obviously stopped at the appropriate time. I didn't go full Monty.
You did another spectacular dance in the year that I remember. In maybe April or so, we got to go up to some game reserve.
Yeah.
And on one of the nights, we went and had like this dinner under the trees, and they had all these candles out, and this traditional kind of dancing dudes came, and there was a fire in the middle, and they danced around it, and they had the full headgear and, you know, all of this. And then one of them came over at the end and kind of gestured to say, "I'm passing the stick onto you. You guys must take over." And I thought, you know, that's quite funny. Nothing's really going to happen. We'll all laugh and then we'll move on with the evening. Simon, no, he's up. He's dancing around the fire. His shirt comes off immediately. He's doing the worm on the floor. He's running around the guy who's playing a bongo. It was pretty spectacular. A real inspiring moment. I thought it was great. Okay. It resembled quite a lot, quite uncanny resemblance to Jim Carrey in Ace Ventura 2. He's dancing around yelling Chicago or whatever it is.
Well, you know what? We don't often do this, but if you're a podcast listener, we'll put a link to that video secretly in the post on our website and you can see what Dylan's talking about.
Yeah.
Just as a little cheeky bonus. Yeah,
fortunately, it was captured on camera. It's quite dark, but you can make out the dance.
We weren't released to the general public, but we're okay to release it to you.
I'm gonna reach into the hat. I've got your awkward conversation.
Okay.
Now this is an email conversation that I just felt really, really awkward about.
All right.
The conversation itself is actually quite good, but you'll see where it gets quite awkward. So I'm gonna be spending New Year's in the UK, and part of that trip I'm going to be going to this area they affectionately call the Cotswolds. Okay. Which I've heard about for years and years, and I believe it's all very quaint and nice. And the particular area is called the Venice of Britain or something like that. Right. I don't know. So there's like little lakes.
It's like flooded and underwater.
Yeah, it's terrible. I can't believe I'm going. There's little lakes and, you know, canals and bridges and all these things. And I emailed a person who's got accommodation there and to find out if I could stay. And they emailed back and they said, "Yes, you can certainly stay. It's always lovely to have people who've never been before, and just let us know what preference of bread you like, what kind of milk, like full cream or semi-skimmed or all of this, like what flavored fresh juice." And it was like so friendly. I just got this picture of this like little old couple with like Christmas jumpers on. And and then when I said that I was going to be coming from South Africa, so would it be fine to pay there because it's hard to transfer between accounts, and it's amazing when you find out you've been having a conversation with somebody and they're actually halfway around the world. And I got so excited about this, meeting these people, and they were going to show me around the place. And then I got another email from someone else offering a place much closer to the town center for about half the price. And it was very awkward because I genuinely did feel like, can I actually turn down this much better offer? And I think with my wallet a lot of the time. But I was so drawn to these people and how excited they were about my coming to stay that I did actually consider for a moment. And then I thought, hold on, this is like, especially considering right now what's happened rand pound. Mm. It's literally thousands of rands different. So I emailed them back and I said, "I'm so sorry to do this. I haven't paid my deposit yet. And we've just got this email from someone else. Mm. And like, I genuinely feel bad because I was looking forward to it, but the money thing and South Africa rand and blah, 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 nothing back." To this day, nothing back. I was given the coldest shoulder I've ever been given by what I felt were going to be the friendliest people I've ever met in my entire life.
Probably still in mourning. I don't think it's because they're trying to be rude. I think they're just still crying.
Oh, well, don't say that. Yeah, they're filling up the canals with their tears. Yeah, definitely. So anyway, that was my most awkward conversation of 2015.
Fair enough.
Okay, let me have a look.
I like this hat. It's very papery.
Best highlight of 2015.
Whoa. You got a doozy there.
Well, no, it's not. What's a doozy? I've never understood that. Doozy to me sounds bad.
No, doozy's good.
Doozy's huge.
Yeah, really? It's like a big... Yeah. It's a spectacle.
Is
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Oh, I got a doozy then. Wow, what a doozy it is. So this dates back right to the beginning of the year.
Okay, that's good.
Sort of January. So it's still a highlight. So yeah. That's a sad thing. So
yeah, imagine how rubbish your year has been.
Yeah, the whole year.
Sorry to hear that, man.
I hope it's really good now.
Probably not. I was away with some friends in a small town called Montague.
Yeah. Okay.
And we had a small paddling pool set up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're South African, so we like to brine. We like to chill out.
Yeah.
And this inevitably ended up with us designing and using the first floating braai.
Okay.
So we found...
What I love is the use of inevitably there. It's like, we've got a pool, we've got a braai. Yeah. It's going to happen.
Yeah. Who are we kidding ourselves?
So we found it. We found an old tin bath in a shed, and we basically just built a fire in it.
All right.
And that went really well.
This is amazing.
The tub didn't melt. We put it in the water.
You were in the water with it?
We were in the water with the braai. We braaied with the water, with the braai right in front of us.
That sounds awfully dangerous. Oh, you're a science man, aren't you? So don't you enjoy a bit of, like, if you put this in, the water will get too hot and we'll all die?
Well, so that's the thing. We thought it would heat up the water. It was very disappointing in that respect. It didn't really heat up the water that much.
Okay.
However, I'll give you some tips if you want to do a floating braai.
Okay.
You need three tong masters as opposed to the normal one.
Right.
Okay, because you've got one who's turning the meat,
yeah,
and then two who are controlling the tin bath so that it doesn't float into your knee and burn you because the sides are really hot.
Oh, my word. Did anyone get burnt?
Only minor singes.
This is still your highlight.
But this is totally the highlight, because then after that, we basically, everything must float. So the chip bowl had to float.
That's a hashtag I think South African needs.
It must float. The drinks were in a smaller tub. They had to float with the ice in the bucket. Everything had to float.
Wait, is this a rule you guys set for yourselves? Yeah. Everything must float.
Must float, yeah.
If you were all on Lilos, so that people had to float too.
I think if
you, that's the only way you could have topped this somewhere in your year.
The pool might have been too small. The Lilo definitely would have touched the floating braai and popped.
Okay. Insta-popped.
Yeah.
What is nice about the floating braai is that, because often what happens is your meat falls off the braai and then you've got to go rinse it off in the kitchen. This is just automatic rinse.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
Yeah. I like that. All right, let's... okay, biggest fright of 2015... Okay, well, I'll break the rules a bit from the question, because I would say that this wasn't necessarily a fright that I received, but more of a fright that I gave.
Okay.
Ooh. We have good friends that had a...
Had good friends.
We still have them.
Oh, good.
We still have them. Don't worry. There has been no fallout. They had kind of a rock and roll themed wedding. And so I thought it'd be a good idea to dress up quite well for this wedding. Whereas most people were just kind of wearing, I guess, a bit more leather than they would usually wear. Mm. I decided that I'd go in full Gene Simmons Kiss makeup. And so I kind of slaved away. I say I slaved away. My wife slaved away, kind of just making sure that she did the research on how to get, you know, what face paint to use, how to get the look perfectly right, and
how to extend your tongue 2 meters longer.
Yeah, that was the toughest part of it. And so I went to this wedding, and I was the only one that went as extreme. So this should have potentially fallen into most embarrassing moment of 2015, but not really, because it was still fun and they really enjoyed that, gone to the effort. But when I was coming back, I obviously still had the face paint on, and I was making my way back to my flat, and our Greek neighbor, who often is outside our flat, or her flat, but it's next to ours, kind of having a little smoke, she got the biggest fright of her life when from around the stairs, a very demon-looking man kind of emerged. And it was very funny. And after we rushed to the hospital, everything was sorted out. I made up the last bit, but I think that's definitely the biggest fright I've given someone this year.
Was it just the face, like casual clothes, or did you go full clothes too?
It was just the face and then a suit.
Jeez. So that is quite scary then. Yeah. Otherwise, she'd be like, oh, there's Gene Simmons. I'm a big fan. Yeah. Maybe I would say hello, except I've got wet hands. But like, if it's the Gene Simmons face on like a sophisticated suit man, that's like kind of eerie and creepy beyond...
Also, Richmond from the IT.
Yeah, if I hadn't have had the axe in my hand, I think it would have gone down better as well.
The blood dripping axe. I've got another awkward moment.
Okay.
This happened actually quite recently, and it wasn't really awkward for me or for you. You were there.
Oh.
We were at the Waterfront waiting to play a gig at Cape Town Comedy.
Yes.
And we'd gone to the amphitheater there because often there's just stuff going on, and mm-hmm. it's a good way to pass time. And the Hugo Lambrecht Music Society, College of Music by Hugo Lambrecht.
Society.
Society was going to perform. Mm. So we caught them in a sound check. We've played at the amphitheater before. It's always awkward. You're doing a sound check, you get the biggest audience, and then they have, then you go, oh, we're actually not going to play now. And then they all leave. And by the time you play, there's no one there. But anyway, so we sat there for the sound check, and then they ended up playing, and that was cool. And they played kind of... they were like an orchestra thing, so they played a couple of standards and some, you know, pieces that you would expect to hear an orchestra play, and then brought up some carols, and they put carols up on the big screen.
Yes.
And they said, we're going to do a couple of carols, and I was very excited because I haven't had much carol experience this year. And they started doing, and the guy turned around and he said, now I want to hear everyone's voices. And immediately I kind of thought, this isn't a carols thing that people have come to. It's different if it's you pay and you go to Kirsten Busch carols. You know what you're getting into. The Waterfront Amphitheater must be the most diverse cross-section of faiths and like creeds in Cape Town.
Different cultures, different pigeons. It's
So I kind of look around, and the majority of people you can see aren't particularly going to be excited about the thought of Christmas carols. So like they kind of sat there and humored the idea, and I was singing along. I'm having fun, you know, whatever. And this guy would kind of do that turnaround that a teacher might do who's like quite excited about choir, but no one else is.
Yeah.
And he's like, come on, sing. And you're looking up the words. It's like, Christ Jesus is born and is the savior of mankind. Yeah. And look over and there's a woman in a full burqa. And you're thinking, you know, she's just not going to sing. And I just kind of felt awkward in that moment that this guy hasn't really read his audience maybe.
No.
And he should have either announced that it's a carols thing or not done carols.
If you can only see the eyes of the audience, don't do Christmas carols. That's the rule.
So that was one of the awkward moments of late.
Right. Andrew, I think you're up.
Yeah, it's most embarrassing moment of 2015. But the only thing that I can think of is actually a very embarrassing moment that Dill had. which was outside an All's Well That Ends Well show.
Oh yes.
And Dill, unfortunately, you managed to reverse into a pole.
I did. I mean, I'll tag team this answer with you if you don't mind.
Please.
I did reverse into a pole. The what was embarrassing about it, actually, not the reversing into the pole, but the company that was there, because I was quite honored to have been invited along to a pre kind of screening, shall I say, or viewing of this show idea that you and some of your friends had
that you later joined us on,
that we then later managed to join.
But
it was like a little panel show, and it was getting a couple of friends that they wanted to see it, and then we would all comment about it later. And it's people that I don't see very often, but you know, I was excited to be there. And the whole evening was good. I enjoyed it. Just putting that out there. I wasn't trying to disappear in a mad flurry. But for some reason, when I reversed, like a normal person, you reverse out of a bay into the road and you kind of turn the appropriate amount and then you drive away. I just kind of kept going backwards until I hit the support for a electric line or, you know, telephone line or whatever, and down the way it started pulling and all these sparks were flying and people just wanted to go home at that point. That was what was so bad about it too. It was like, sorry guys, we've got another hour and a half now, because we didn't really know, but there were like, you know, live wires, or what we thought would be live wires sparking in the road. So we had to stop people from driving there.
Yeah, they were like across the road. It looked very dangerous.
It looked very dangerous.
Yeah.
And then
all of those tow trucks arrived. So
Trucks came screaming down, only because we couldn't get hold of anyone to come fix the situation. So our friend Richard, I think we mentioned him before, he phoned the police to say there's been an accident. But he didn't mention that it was like the kind of protective cover of one of my indicators is cracked and I've hit a pole that didn't move. So
not a Polish person, just an actual pole.
So instantly about 20 of these cars came flying down, the pickup trucks.
That was scary.
That was quite scary, because we still thought, even though we weren't, you know, particularly fond of the idea of all these guys rushing in. We still thought we should probably try to stop them because these are in our heads at this stage still live wires. We were then told, no, because they're touching the ground, they're grounded wires, which makes sense, but the sparks that were flying out of them made it seem quite dangerous. And, you know, one of them almost ran into our friend Jake's wife, Phil. She was standing there trying to stop him. He was like, no, I'm not stopping. I want to get there first. She had to, like, jump out the way. It was awful.
Yeah,
so, yeah, you're right. That was quite embarrassing. I'm glad you brought it up.
I think so.
What happened to you that night? Because you were there, but I don't remember you being there.
I just left at a normal time. I drove out like a normal person. I didn't bother to try head over any live wires.
Oh, so you left before the live wires situation.
If that happened, I would have stayed. That would have been
fun. That's what I was thinking now.
But no, I just... I know how to drive. Display. So I was just able to...
It reminded me of probably my most embarrassing moment of my entire life, actually.
Okay.
If we're thinking about crashing into things, which was the first time I tried to do my driver's test.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone had been so... I was a bit of a late bloomer. I didn't get it when I was, you know, 17 and driving to exams.
Breasts only developed later.
I hated those people who were driving to school during matric.
I hate those people who have breasts when they're 10.
I have breasts now, not when I was 10. and everyone said, no, it's fine, it's easy, everyone gets it. And I went in too confident, really. So confident that I reversed into the first kind of, I think it's alley docking, they call it. And just kept going back, knocked the pole out the ground, asked the guy if there's any chance that's like an offense. And he went, well, that's a fail instantly. I went, oh. So that's how you fail.
You were badly informed because everyone I spoke to was like, it's super hard. You never pass. You go, I have to do it like 3 times.
Yeah.
Like a negative Gandalf.
So I got it the second time, but it was quite a while later again.
All right. I've got biggest misunderstanding of 2015. I think my biggest misunderstanding would probably be we have a tradition that every Valentine's Day, rather than having a normal Valentine's Day, we have a Schmalentine's Day, which is the anti-Valentine's Day.
Mm.
And it's only been going for 2 years. So last year we had it at my flat and I think we watched Star Trek, which is a very unromantic movie and everyone kind of dressed up in very normal clothing, nothing, you know.
Because on Valentine's Day, you're always dressing up in...
Well, if you
like romantic clothing,
if you're going on a date, you're going to maybe wear a shirt.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So kind of that happened that year, and then we had talked about it for this year, having Valentine's Day again, and we had said, you know, wear your passion killers and everything. So my wife and I were like, cool, we're going to do this again. And this year was happening at our friend Richard, his house, and we pitched up, and my wife was wearing kind of, she has this, you could call them pajamas, but it's more like a Bedouin tent. It's like really is this very...
Like a nighty kind of thing.
It's like worse than a nighty. You can probably fit like 70 people into it. It's just not a very flattering thing. And I always kind of rip it off when she wears it. And so she was wearing that. And I was wearing, at my bachelor's, people made for me this special pair of underwear that was essentially, imagine a normal kind of spandexy kind of underwear, except this one has a Captain Hook kind of
plastic
hook piece
affixed there, like to the front, like a cod piece,
like a piratey cod piece. Okay. So I was wearing that and pretty much nothing else, and and so we pitched up in our what we thought were our passion killers, happy Valentine's Day everyone, and no one else had worn any kind of dress up gear.
That's
somehow
so great.
There'd been some sort of weird thing where we had assumed that they were just doing that because we did that last year and we had talked about it, but no one else had thought that that's what was going on. And
it's like a theme of yours to be overdressed for the party, though. You've got that wedding thing where you outdressed the bride and groom, it sounds like, and you've come to this in just underpants.
So
it's nice. I like the commitment.
So yeah, that was less embarrassing because, to be honest, I quite liked wearing that. It was definitely a misunderstanding. I don't
know.
You know, if you can invite it to Schmalentine's Day this year or next year, then just make sure you read the invite.
Okay. I seem to have one more here.
All right.
And on a positive note, highlight.
Okay.
My highlight, or one thereof, of 2015, have to be going to my sister's wedding in Thailand. That was very cool. She got married in April, I think it was, and family flew out and people flew out and they had friends who already lived in Thailand and people came from the UK. What actually happened, because it's quite funny, I mean, you know, there's the thing of destination weddings and, or not even destination weddings, just weddings where it's like 2 hours away from where you live and you think, couldn't you have just had it at your house? That's quite close to where we live and now we have to drive over a mountain. This is that times infinity, really, because we did have to drive over a mountain. We had to fly to that mountain first. And what was quite funny is that I think they thought in that kind of destination wedding way that you invite, let's say, 100 people and 50 of them will come because it's a huge mission. And pretty much everyone they invited came to the thing, which was really awesome to be at and have this whole massive thing. But it was quite funny, the sense of like, oh, everyone's coming. let's double our efforts. But I got to play guitar. She came down the aisle in a kind of throwback to every other wedding I've been to. I tend to end up playing when people walk down aisles. And yeah, not much funny to say about it. It's just a highlight of 2015. The hat has asked for a highlight, and so the hat will get it.
Yeah, that's great. That's an awesome personal highlight that the hat asked for. But I thought we should end this Streep podcast with a Streep highlight that the hat hasn't asked for. We're just going to give it anyway. And that is, it's great when people listen to your music. It's even better when they seem to enjoy it and send you kind of encouraging messages. But this year, what happened near the end of this year, someone actually not only listened and enjoyed, but they created their own version of one of our Streep songs.
Yeah.
So we'll play out this podcast with an a cappella version of Shopping Anthem by a man called David McCoy, who has arranged this version to sing hopefully with a choir up in PE. So
awesome.
That's pretty rad. But the rest of you, have a fantastic New Year's.
Yeah, enjoy it.
Yeah.
Be safe, and we'll see you in 2016.
Yay!
Resolutions.
Here we go.
This is an anthem for all those who are feeling irritated when they're standing with shopping close to one who's overcated. Let this be your mantra when you're stuck in the line. If they've got too much Fanta and you have no time, just tap them on the shoulder and say, take your 27 items and get out the express queue.